all across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
You know, Aaron, you probably didn't have the mic open, but it wouldn't be great if every hour just started with a random comment from Kristen Lyerly. Like right before the theme, I just hear her go, I hear birds.
You know, I wish I did have the mic open.
I know. Just any kind of non sequitur that gets the hour started here. Welcome back to the second hour of Up North News Radio for this Thursday, July 20th, where we're hearing birds on this National Fortune Cookie Day. It's also International Chess Day. Coming up this hour, Border Battle Part 2. You'll recall that yesterday we featured reporters from Iowa and Michigan outlining significant differences in what their legislatures focused on this spring. Well, in this week's Hometown Health, Dr. Lyerly here and a fellow OBGYN from Minnesota look at the significant differences between what Republicans refused to do in Madison and everything that Democrats accomplished in St. Paul on behalf of families and safety and public health. That's coming up. Prior to that, in about just under 15 minutes, Up North News reporter Selena Heller will join us to talk about things to do around Wisconsin this weekend, Country Jam being the big one here in the Chippewa Valley. But Kristen, in talking to you about the things that you've been doing, you've been practicing in Minnesota for a time, but you've also been doing some work on the Navajo reservation in Arizona, which is where you are right now. And it got me to thinking, now what you're doing is not your typical medical mission trip. It's not a volunteer thing, but it's something that you didn't have to do, right? And that's kind of the theme I was going to be hitting on for this segment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I am here kind of like a temp. It's called locum tenens work. And you may have heard of traveling nurses who choose to go to a hospital far away from home just to be able to pitch in. That's what I'm doing here. I had a friend who worked on the reservation and they were just looking for some help over the summer. You know, there is a dire physician shortage across the country, and it is really, really hard in rural parts of the country. So, for me, I had a little extra time and they had a need. And here I am learning so much about the Navajo culture, the Hopi culture, as well as, you know, what's going on in Arizona and just contrasting our states politically and getting a better understanding of what we could do better in Wisconsin. So it's not a border battle, but it's always so nice to have a different perspective on what's happening at home.
Oh, yeah. And look, there's nothing monolithic about medicine. I know from our 3 years living on Grand Cayman, and you're working with the British health system there as a British territory. Some things are very different. Different drugs have been approved or not approved, you know, by the UK versus the US. But again, in terms of travel, now, you know, my wife has done a medical mission trips to Kenya, Uganda, Haiti, Nicaragua. And then as a family through our church, we did a mission trip in Mexico at one point. So I put up the question on my own Facebook feed asking if anybody's been part of either a volunteer activity overseas or another part of the country or something that was related to their daily work. And that we just want to talk about how you could choose to serve others in another part of the world. It could be, you know, Rotary Club is busy, you know, like digging wells in other countries. The scout troops do things, the Peace Corps. Like I said, some are related to an occupation, others are more general. And we got a couple of nice answers here. One friend talked about friends who went to Greece during the refugee surge and distributed supplies and had an amazing experience. Let's see, I had one more that I wanted to talk about. Oh, it was on another page here, but yeah, just, I loved the response. And I know that again, that's not exactly the same as locums work for physicians, but it's all about getting out of your bubble when you're able to, and being able to help others in some way, either professionally or personally.
International travel is not necessary either. I mean, it would be wonderful to go to Grand Cayman, Pat, but I have friends who have traveled. So since in the post-Dobbs era, I have friends who have traveled to Alabama to pitch in and to other states where getting healthcare is really challenging. And one of the coolest things that I've seen up here on the reservation is that this is socialized medicine. So people are cared for regardless of their ability to pay. And we don't have to get mired in one of the biggest problems that doctors and nurses are facing, which is all of these electronic medical record requirements and insurance coverage. You know, how many times have you been stuck in a situation where you've had to get something pre-authorized, or you go to the pharmacy to pick something up and your prescription is $600 a month and, you know, you can't afford it, but you need the drug and you're caught in this like really difficult situation. We don't have to deal with any of that up here. All I'm doing is taking care of patients. And that's what I went into medicine to do.
Yeah.
It's refreshing.
And you can do it in many other ways. The other message that I had here was somebody who has gone to Tanzania two times with a group called It Can Be Done Africa. And again, it talks about the 780 million people who don't have access to safe water around the world. So just water projects alone would be, you know, a big deal and a way to help. But again, you can do this right in Wisconsin where you can help other communities. Just again, the whole notion of if we could get back to thinking about service rather than, you know, some of the selflessness rather than the selfishness, we might be a happier place out there. I can think of a few politicians who should be a little bit more service oriented, shall we say.
Oh, you got it, brother. And, you know, I mentioned you don't have to go out of the country. You don't have to go out of the state. There's plenty. Yep. There are plenty of service opportunities right there in your own backyard.
Yeah. All right. Let's take a break here. We will, after these messages, get the weatherology forecast heading into the weekend because I'll be gone tomorrow. We'll have a best of show back live on Monday. So we'll get the weatherology forecast for the weekend. We'll tell you about the Brewer game against the Phillies. They play again this afternoon to try to break that 1-1 tie in the series before they come home. Get that. And Selena Heller will join us to talk about weekend events around Wisconsin as well. No matter where you are across Wisconsin, when you're here, you're up north. We'll be right back. Carlos Santana, 76 years old today, so we've been playing some tunes from him. Coming up in just a bit, Selena Heller is going to join us, and we're going to talk primarily about Country Jam because it's one of the stories that she's been working on for Up North News because they actually changed venues, changed locations in the Eau Claire area. But there will be other events across Wisconsin to talk about too. But, you know, first we've got to get a look at the forecast, and Jennifer Wachinski is joining us to do that. And Jennifer, I put up pictures earlier, and actually I'm going to put them up again while you're talking here, of my wife's car and what all resulted after being pummeled with golf ball size hail. I'm pretty sure the car is going to get totaled out. And there was a lot of pictures and video like that around the Rice Lake area last evening. It was not fun. What can you tell us about how we're looking as we head into the weekend?
Yeah, so I mean, quite a bit of a difference yesterday compared to today. And so today we're looking at, looks like from Wausau south to Madison into the east, maybe a few spotty areas of showers and thunderstorm chances still early on this morning, then drying out for the day. Cloudy for the day around Wausau and Oshkosh, becoming sunny in the south. Sunny skies from Richland Center over to Amory today, and highs in the mid-70s to low 80s, so at or slightly below average for this time of the year as that cold front pushes through. We had a warm front here yesterday, and now that cold front coming in today, so that's why some areas got that clash of severe weather here yesterday. For Friday, it looks like slightly warmer and more average, actually, mid to low 80s for most as the warm front comes in. Sunny skies in the south and a slight chance for showers and storms developing in the afternoon hours from Oshkosh through central and west central Wisconsin. Saturday, temperatures linger in the low 80s for most. Looks like a chance for showers and storms for everyone, primarily in the afternoon hours. Maybe a few spotty areas of rain showers in the morning hours, potentially. Then a chance for rain again on Sunday for nearly everyone, except for around Amory and Baldwin. Chance for rain holding off until the evening around Richland Center, and then highs getting into the mid-80s across the board on Sunday.
Jennifer Wachinski from Weatherology telling us more about the forecast for this Thursday. Jennifer, thanks so much. Hope you have a great day.
Thank you, too.
All right. Now back here with Kristen Lyerly and Selena Heller joining us as well. Newest reporter in addition to Up North News and a former coworker of mine at TV13 in Eau Claire. Selena and I, we had some communication challenges last week, and I'm realizing during the break we're going to have those same challenges. And I believe it's because the delay is because Selena has a laptop. I'm not going to say it's old. It has an 8-track player. That's it. So there's a little bit of a lag here. So I'm going to ask more, not a lot of open-ended questions, but kind of some closed up ones. Selena, you did a story this week about Country Jam in the Chippewa Valley, changing locations, but still on the outskirts of Eau Claire. For folks that aren't familiar, tell us about the why they did it and where they went.
Well, it's kind of been in the making for quite a while, looking at some space and where they could move to the old location in Eau Claire, town of Wheaton, actually, or Union, rather. It's in the town of Wheaton now. Was landlocked, had a river. Also, they rented the property, so they couldn't really do much. They couldn't build permanent structures. They couldn't really expand the business or build anything. So they wanted to move it. And so they've been looking at a few things for a long time. A place that had accessibility, how to get people in and out, a place that was large enough to fit all the people. Their spot now is 135 acres, so they found that. And the availability of services, so the ability to get police and fire and water and power and all of that. So now this new space is just on the outskirts of Eau Claire, on along Highway T. And it's a great place. I was there on Monday, and they're still building. There was a lot of activity going on, so it's going to be a great spot.
And if you heard Selena's story last week, you can also understand why she it feels a little bit better about the change in venue, because she no longer feels like Carrot Top is going to be sneaking up behind her and tormenting her the way that she did before. So I'm sure you're looking forward to that part of it. Kristen, you're in the northeastern part of the state. I don't know that you've ever been to Country Jam, but what are some of the equivalent? Have you been to an equivalent type of music festival on that side of the state?
Boy, not in northeastern Wisconsin. There's a lot happening in Green Bay, a lot of great summer festivals, things happening downtown. There are Fridays on the Fox. I mean, it is really a vibrant community to be in during the summer, but especially during football season, which...
Well, yeah, you do have that venue. That's true. Selena, tell us what else what kind of things are happening around the state this weekend as you were looking into weekend plans for folks?
One of the big things is the Lumberjack World Championships, and that's in Hayward. So that's held there every year. And if you've ever been to any one of those events, they're so neat to see the log rolling, all the events, sawing, speed climbing, axe throwing, chopping. It's so fun. The Lumberjacks and Lumberjills will be there competing throughout the weekend. Also, another big event is the Wisconsin State Water Ski Show Championship. That's held in Wisconsin Rapids. And all the ski show teams from across the state will be there competing, kind of their culmination to the end of the season, even though it's still July. Also, Farm Tech Days in Baraboo and the fair rundown. We've got the Dane County Fair, Barron County Fair, Fond du Lac Green, La Crosse Interstate Fair, out of Gamey County, St. Croix, Waukesha, and then a little one of Lake Street, and a rundown of those.
All right. And we can definitely find those online as well. And you can find Selena's story about Country Jam over at upnorthnewswi.com. All right. We'll pick this up in a week or so, Selena. Have a good start to the weekend.
Thank you. You do.
All right. And we'll work on that technology issue there to get her straightened out as well. So about the music festivals, county fairs. Where are you on that? Are you out there like looking at all the, you know, the goats and the chickens and the rabbits and all of that? And here's why I ask. First time
I'm like, where are you going with this, Pat?
First time we went to the Northern Wisconsin State Fair here in Chippewa Falls. It was 1995, and you see the barns and you see the cattle and you see the sheep and the horses, and then they happen to be judging rabbits for these 4-H kids. And the judge, just some guy with a microphone, and he's got the microphone in one hand. He's holding the rabbit up by the scruff of the neck with the other and talking about, what a great example this is, how well raised this rabbit was. And then says this thing that still sticks with us today. He says, now, if it were up to me, I would not be judging rabbits this way. They would already be dressed, and we'd be able to see the muscle structure and everything. He was talking about judging the rabbits after they'd been killed and skinned, and look at them that way and see how they were structured. I'm like, what? You ghoul?
But I mean, that's weird, but but that's part of it, because you want to know that they're well raised and that they're healthy and all of those things. I mean, that's
when they have the big cattle auction. I don't need you to slaughter the cattle right there in the show ring to judge it.
You know,
that's what
this guy was wanting. What is that, Aaron?
If you go to a dog show, I'm just going to leave it at that.
Oh my gosh. Well, there is a thing up here on the Navajo reservation where they have a Miss Navajo. Mm-hmm. And
Say that. Come on. What? Okay. Sorry. It was letting my mind wander.
It's not like a traditional beauty contest. It is like someone who represents the culture. And one of the qualifications is you have to be able to slaughter a sheep, because that is such a huge part of the culture. And that is the part that people really struggle with.
Okay. I get that. You know, it might be like my ancestors, maybe it was churning butter, you know, or something like that. That would make sense. Or if say my wife had competed in the, you know, Miss Manitowoc County, maybe it's a milking contest or something like that. So yeah, I can see that. For that's better than the talent competitions we often see, you know, in other contests. It's just the whole notion of having to field dress animals before judging them at the fair that I thought was a little odd, which is why I asked if maybe county fairs are a little less, creepy that you've been to over on your side of the state.
Well, I think about, like, my mom grew up on a dairy farm, and I think about when she was involved in 4-H and how they raised their animals and the whole purpose. Like, an animal is not a pet. Mm-hmm. It is, it might feel like a pet, but you're raising this animal to show, then to butcher. So if you're looking at it actually from the perspective of somebody who, you know, raises an animal on a farm, I get that. I understand what he was saying.
Yes, I get that you're going to do that after the fact. It's just not as part of the judging process. And did you notice Aaron was nowhere to be found when I was talking about Manitowoc County and do they have to milk cows as part of the contest over there? Maybe there's something I don't know. Aaron, have you been to the county fair there to tell us more?
I have. I don't remember any cow milking competitions.
Okay, good. I was just making sure, because, and there's milk, there's that. And then there's that takes me to the milk drinking competitions that you find sometimes at dairy breakfasts. Have you ever been to one of those, Kristen?
No.
Oh no. It's not quite what you think. You hear that it's a milk drinking contest, and you're thinking, oh, you know, who can drink a tall glass of milk the fastest or something. Oh, no, it's nothing like that at all. I didn't know this at the time. So I'm anchoring the news, you know, Channel 13. I'm trying to be the stoic, you know, anchor. You know, I don't get involved in all the silly stuff, but I said, I'll be part of the milk drinking contest. So there's a whole big crowd there, you know, 1,000 people having breakfast, and you and the other contestants are standing there, and then they bring you the calf bottles. Those what? Big bottles with the giant nipples on them. That's what you're drinking. Oh, Lord, I hope not. If there are, they never came up in any campaign ads or anything like that. So I'm probably thinking not, but.
Oh, that's really funny.
Just keep that in mind when you're asked to be part of, you know, anything, any kind of a contest. Find out all of the story, you know, before you get there. You haven't been in anything like this yet, have you? Even when you ran for assembly, you weren't asked to debase yourself in some way, shape, or form?
No, because when I ran, it was COVID. So we didn't get to do any of that traditional
stuff. You get to have any fun. How about you, Aaron? Do you ever get put in a situation like that where you've it was not what you were expecting?
Not that comes to mind right now.
Well, you were in a band, and I've got a good friend of mine who was in a band, and they were asked to play a gig at a nudist colony.
That's something.
Yeah, it was. And it, if memory serves, they were given the option, you know, as in clothing optional, to do the gig. They ultimately decided to play the gig with their clothes on.
I would have as well.
And you know that whole thing about just imagine the audience in their underwear? Well, then they would have been they would have been overdressed if that had been the case. Oh, goodness. All right, let's take this thing back to where our bread and butter is, and that would be, you know, the politics and policy that happens in Wisconsin. And coming up, you've got a colleague of yours, an OBGYN from Minnesota, both of you active in the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists. And so you're ready for a little border battle here?
Yeah, we're going to talk a little bit about what a functional government can do for the health and welfare of people in our state.
Very well said. And so we will talk about that in our Hometown Health segment. That is coming up right after this break. So stick around wherever you are. You're up north. We'll be right back. The Milwaukee Brewers so far have a split in their series in Philadelphia. Philly won the opener. The Brewers won last night. 5-3, William Contreras hit a tie-breaking double in the seventh inning. He also threw out a man trying to steal second in the ninth inning to help seal the deal. Corbin Burns will be pitching for the Brewers this afternoon in Philadelphia. Then they come home to take on the Atlanta Braves for the weekend. A reminder that Civic Media Group, the radio stations are encouraging everybody to give blood this month. Blood banks are notoriously low on supply during the summer months. Could really use your help, and you could get stuff for doing it. And it's pretty easy. All you do is take a selfie while you're donating blood and then put on the hashtag Civic Pints for giving that pint of blood. You put it on social media. Folks at Civic Media are going to see the hashtag Civic Pints, and then they will get you enrolled for possible giveaways that could even include Milwaukee Brewers tickets. So again, put a selfie of yourself at a blood donation center. A real one. Don't have your cousin, you know, taking care of this for you. Dr. Lyerly would recommend against that. And again, Civic Pints, and that will get things done. Kristen, I don't think there's a lot of amateur blood draws that are done out there, right? But you never know.
I think that's a bad idea.
Oh, wait, those are vampires. Never mind. I get them mixed up from time to time. All right, it's Hometown Health time. And, you know, Dr. Lyerly, while she spends a lot of time in Arizona now, in Minnesota, but she is Wisconsin-based. She follows the Wisconsin legislature for obstetricians and gynecologists, you know, across the country to report on what they're doing. And you have a colleague from Minnesota so that you can do a little compare and contrast about this year's sessions, Kristen. So I'll leave you to introduce our guest.
Yeah. So, I mean, to be very clear, I am a sixth generation Wisconsinite. So I am Kristen for Wisconsin. I love Wisconsin, but I also get to see what's happening in other states across the country. And I work very closely with lots of states in the upper Midwest. And I'd have to say my favorite right now, especially, is Minnesota. I have this amazing colleague from Minnesota, Dr. Elizabeth Slagle, who happens to be the legislative chair for Minnesota for the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists. And Dr. Slagle is here with us this morning to talk about some of the incredible victories that they've seen just across the border and just to help us kind of compare and contrast. So Dr. Slagle, good morning and welcome.
Good morning. Thanks for having me. I'm so happy to talk about these things. It's my favorite.
And I'm so glad you had a quiet call night so that you're feeling like fresh and excited.
I am.
And happy.
Just a few births, but nothing too crazy. Everybody's safe and sound.
That's great. So your trifecta, you have a Democratic government right now in Minnesota that really works well. Tell us a little bit about, just in general, what the government has been able to accomplish and what the pace has been like this last year.
Yeah, so I've had, you know, this great ability to be working in medicine, but also fulfill kind of my passion of looking at legislative policymaking and working with the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists. And for the last 4 years previous to this year, we had a split legislature. So, you know, our agendas and what we tried to get passed was like, it was just gridlock. You know, we would try really hard to pass a very common sense, you know, legislation that's going to help our patients, things that are just inherently bipartisan. And it would take a lot of strategy and just a lot of conversations just to get through the finish line. This year, however, we had the trifecta. So we had the Democrats control both houses in the legislature as well as the governor. And it was just fast and furious. It was drinking through fire hose, truly. The people that assign bill numbers to the bills could not keep up with the number of bills that were coming their way. So we were able just to get a momentous amount of amazing legislation passed in a short period of time. I like to think of it as the year that Minnesota just really stepped up and decided to expand freedoms for our citizens. So we did so much. I mean, it started with the PRO Act, basically enshrining the ability to have access to comprehensive reproductive health care, including abortion, without any interference from the legislature, making that decision between a healthcare provider and the patient. We had protection for any gendered healthcare here. So people can cross the border, they can get their healthcare here, knowing that, again, that's a decision between them and their healthcare team and not something that lawmakers are going to tell them about. It was just amazing. Universal school lunch, a lot of money into education. We had finally some common sense gun control legislation. Just was really amazing to see. And, you know, we just expanded voter rights. So it just made everybody easier to get registered to vote, to enshrine that ability to represent yourself in your democracy. It was profound.
I love that you summarize it as an expansion of personal freedoms, which is something that we hear resonating across the country and something that is so fundamentally important to all of us. Let's highlight, I mean, you mentioned a couple of the things, but here's a list: paid family and medical leave, voting rights, universal school meals. That's in the legislature in Wisconsin right now as well. 100% clean energy by 2040. Student support and mental health funding, funding for childcare assistance, background checks, and you mentioned red flag gun laws, legalizing recreational cannabis. I mean, Wisconsin right now is an island in a sea of cannabis, of legal cannabis, driver's licenses for all, banning conversion therapy, transgender refuge legislation, prescription affordability package, prescription affordability. Like, this is bipartisan stuff that is so important. And your trifecta, to be very clear, is not a solid majority. I mean, some of these districts have only been won by a very slight margin, which really underpins the importance of getting out and voting for all of us.
Absolutely. We don't have, you know, this is a state that does swing back and forth. I've seen, you know, lots of versions of who represents us in the government. I mean, they call us a purple state. A lot of people think that it's like solidly blue, but we really aren't. The number of votes it took to get this kind of control was slim, about 2,000 votes over just a few key races in both the House and the Senate. But I would say, given that, you know, a lot of people would talk about how maybe there was just a lot of bills passed that didn't have bipartisan support. But when you look at this stuff that's passed, I mean, this is what the citizens and the population wants. This is what people are voting for. They want access to good government services. They want access to paid family leave. So if they have an emergency, they still have protections from their job and some pay. I mean, these are basic rights that people universally want. Now, the tricky part is always how to enact it and how to make a big change, right? Change is hard, but this is what the citizens want. And this is what they voted for to represent them.
And it's something that we saw reflected in Wisconsin in Marquette polls over and over and over again. And so what Democrats in Minnesota did was say, okay, we've got this slim majority, but if we hold together, if nobody decides they want to be the maverick of the caucus, we can implement these things that are essential to what our constituents believe, knowing full well that legislatures swing. There are some of these Democrats are going to lose their seats in 2024. We don't know where the majority is going to be, but if the majority is with the Republicans, it then becomes on them, okay, which of these are you going to try to kill? Which ones are you going to try to take away from families and others? And Dr. Slagle, you look at the Minnesota legislature closer than we do, but what are your feelings about, you know, when, because pendulum swing, you know, whenever Republicans take the majority in Minnesota again someday, are there some of these that you're concerned would be the first things to go before they could even get, you know, fully implemented?
Yeah, I think that, you know, we always worry about, you know, in my field, protection for reproductive health care, right? So things that protect that, like abortion care or gendered health care, those laws can be reversed. Now, we do have some protections on the state level from previous court cases. It's certainly not, it's not a, you know, it's not in our constitution or anything like that. So we do worry that those things can be flipped and reversed. Absolutely. That's why it's important to vote, because you can get amazing policymaking and then that stuff can be reversed. You know, I do wonder how much of those like very basic common sense gun control measures could go out the window. I mean, we have a crisis with guns and in healthcare, we think of this as like a top healthcare emergency. So I see those things as all very vulnerable.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned earlier the PRO Act, which is so different than what we're living with here in Wisconsin. Of course, Wisconsin has an 1849 criminal abortion ban where abortion at this point is not being performed with the exception of the life of the mother. But it's very different in Minnesota. Tell us a little bit about the PRO Act and the kinds of individual freedoms that women in Minnesota have access to.
Which, again, we'll just make for people that missed it the first time. PRO Act stands for Protect Reproductive Options. Go ahead, Dr. Slagle.
Absolutely. I mean, when you look at this bill, it's like it's a very short bill. It basically says you have the right to access healthcare, reproductive healthcare without restriction. You know, when there was a lot of country, I mean, there was a 15-hour debate on this bill in the Senate. And watching this debate unfold, you know, people are talking about how extreme this law is. But when you look at the basics of it, it just basically says the lawmakers can't tell you when and if you can have an abortion, and they just don't get to be involved in that decision making because it is so intimate. It is a decision that really you can't ever put, you know, you can't put gestational limits on it, for instance. I mean, we've talked about that. I've seen that your conversations in the show before, what it means to put some sort of arbitrary gestational age on access to abortion. But it was really interesting to watch these debates, right? People fear all of this, you know, basically fake kinds of non-medical jargon about late term and all that stuff. It just doesn't make any sense. We looked at our numbers in Minnesota about who actually gets these like late abortions later in pregnancy. There, people are suffering from, you know, really devastating diagnoses for their babies. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about, you know, 5 terminations in 2021 that happened between 24 and 28 weeks, all for lethal anomalies, none that happened in the third trimester. This is just not something that happens. This is not something we perform.
It is a fairy tale, essentially, that too many Absolutely. Republican politicians are still spreading. I'd like to talk for just a second, because we covered this in our last hour as well, the attack on the Affordable Care Act, and specifically a Texas judge wanting to strike down the screenings that can be done, cancer screenings. You know, the Affordable Care Act says that screening for mammograms is covered, but diagnostic mammograms often aren't. Tell me about these continued, attacks on the Affordable Care Act in the area of preventive things and, you know, what people like you and Kristen are saying about the benefits since the Affordable Care Act took over.
I mean, people are always asking me, you know, how much am I going to have to pay for this? And it's like, you know, if this is an essential health benefit, if this is to keep you healthy and prevent massive health issues later on, which are just costly to the healthcare system anyway, when you diagnose something late, this is at no cost to you. So another great bill that happened in this session in Minnesota was that diagnostic imaging, if it's triggered by a screening exam that says there's an abnormality here, we need to get more information, that's covered. You don't have to pay for that. So you never have to be in a situation where I had an abnormal test, but now they're asking me to pay thousands of dollars to get an answer. And that's $1,000 I don't have. Very different from what you guys are dealing with, unfortunately, in Wisconsin right now.
Very different, but we do have bipartisan legislation, and this is an opportunity. So listen up, folks. Senate Bill 121 is out there. It is truly bipartisan, and it would give us, if there is an abnormality discovered on a screening exam, or if you are at high risk for developing breast cancer, it would give you further imaging that you need in order to ensure that your healthcare is exactly what you need it to be, that we are able to pursue that diagnosis without any cost to you. That's done in Minnesota, but we can make it happen here in Wisconsin.
So in the time that we have left here, Dr. Slagle, again, we didn't do a true compare and contrast because we just don't have much in the Wisconsin column to talk about this year for what the legislature was going to do. So bottom line, in the 30 seconds that I've got for an answer here, how would you describe how family friendly the legislature was in your state this year?
That is our whole goal, is to make it so that families are healthy, right? They can access good education for their students, meals for the students so that they're not hungry, access to mental health services. We're kind of a pandemic and mental health, let's face it, has really suffered. So all of the focus was really about how do we keep people happy, healthy, and thriving in our communities. It was amazing to see.
I know Kristen tells us about it quite often that it was really something to witness and something that we would very much like to witness on this side of the St. Croix as well. Elizabeth Flagel, thank you so much for joining us on Hometown Health and helping us see the potential for a future.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. All right. When we come back, we'll talk to our friend Luke Mathers. We think, you know, it's always a toss up. And Kristen Lyerly will hang around as well for a little bit as we wrap up a Thursday morning and wrap up my work week here. A best of show tomorrow, back live on Monday. All that with Up North News Radio continuing right after this break. In the studio there. Brand new studio on State Street, right block away from the state capitol. Breaking it in. Couldn't find the camera till about 12 seconds ago, but there he is joining us now. Mr. Mathers, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Krylo. Yeah, I mean, we're still getting used to the new digs here. So, you know, it takes some practice. I was going to get my town call logo up there, but I didn't think of it until right before jumping on the air with you. So, my apologies.
Todd Alba had his ready to go yesterday, and it has this big bright sun on there. And I didn't get a chance to ask him if the sun was rising or setting on the Todd Alba show.
It's now in the middle of the, it used to as a morning product.
Oh, I see.
It
where
used to be
here.
Rising, but now it's more kind of at the midday angle, I believe, because Mr. Alba now from 1 to 3 across the Civic Media Network.
Yes. Doing a stellar job there. All right. I'm going to be serious for a moment here because it is no small task to get that thing put together. And I know several other show hosts across Civic Media have said very well-deserved things about the engineers and the other folks who put it all together. Buddy, I know how hard you've been working on this too. So I hope you feel, I know there's still work to do, but I hope you feel a little sense of pride of what you've managed to accomplish there with your colleagues.
We're having a lot of fun here and it's been exciting. It's been a really large lift, but the team that we have here at Civic Media has been working together to pull it off, and hats off to them. They're doing the engineers, everybody on the programming side of things, doing tremendous work, and it wouldn't have been possible to get to where we are today now here broadcasting from the new State Street location without all the tremendous teamwork that went into making this a reality.
And look, the stuff on whether we're using Zoom or StreamYard or anything to do the video stuff is all nice, but I mean, Kristen, come on. We got to set a date down there. We got to go break in and do a live show down there, all of us.
Luke kind of looks like he's going to do like a cute little weather forecast with that screen behind him. Like,
oh, you're
do
right.
Some pointing and
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, but except that it's radio. So he wouldn't really be doing that for us. But
I got a statewide newscast coming up for you at 8 a.m. on the dot.
And that's where this always gets to be nerve-wracking, because Luke is now, you know, helping to write a newscast that goes on at 8 o'clock. I'm going to assume you're pretty well set and can go and can spend a couple of minutes here telling us about Town Call and either what you've been talking about or what you've got coming up.
Yeah, absolutely. I did all my homework, so I'm here and able to join you for this cross segment throughout Up North News this morning.
It's a lot easier now than in the other place, because instead of having to do this weird little dance where we slide past each other in the production closet and I go set things up in the other room, now I just do this and I step over like 2 feet.
Yeah, it works out. And there's a lot more room for Aaron and I to work next to each other rather than on top of each other like we were at the previous location. So we're having a lot of fun here at State Street.
And Town Call is where folks can they're far more encouraged to call in rather than the way that I continue to babble for, you know, 2 straight hours. You actually want to pick up the phone more often.
We encourage it. We highly encourage it on Town Call. You can join us, me and William Walter, my co-host, from 12:15 to 1 every Monday through Friday. We are bringing a new approach to hometown radio when it comes to having the listeners be the star of the show. Today, we're going to have some office hours with UW Green Bay professor John Shelton. So he's going to be joining us on a biweekly basis. And we're looking forward to having a conversation with the professor on this Thursday. But if you've got questions for him, you can call in 844-967-2789. Or if you've got an idea for a future edition of Town Call, you're like, this really needs to be talked about more here in Wisconsin, you can send the show an email, Town Call, real simple, just the name of the show, towncall@civicmedia.us. That is our email. You can pitch us ideas, you can give suggestions, you can say, hey, we really didn't like this, we'll take it all. So you can email us, towncall@civicmedia.us, and you can tune in to that excellent program with William Walter and I every Monday through Friday, 12:15 to 1.
Hey, Kristen, I we know this Professor Shelton, don't we?
We sure do. He just happens to be an incredible professor who knows a lot about unions and organizing up here in Green Bay. But he happens to also be Representative Christina Shelton's husband. So talk about a power couple.
Oh, my goodness. I got to meet him in Green Bay a few weeks back. You introduced me to him and to Representative Shelton. And they are, I mean, the folks there are very lucky to have them, both as a teacher and as a state legislator. So I'm glad to hear he's going to be a regular. It's just from my one conversation with him, it sounds like good work out of you, Mr. Mathers.
All Mr. Walter on that one. William and John know each other. They have worked together off the air, and so we're really excited that the professor can join us on the air for Town Call. I believe every other Thursday is the plan there for our office hours with Professor Shelton. But there's so much fun stuff going on at Civic Media. We also got the Civic Media Pints going on, Civic Pints right now. So we are giving not only giving away Brewers tickets, if you're listening to the excellent Civic Media programming around the network, but if you go and donate blood in the month of July, you can be entered in to win even cooler prizes as well. We're giving away tickets to State Fair and other prizes. So if you donate, take a selfie while you're donating blood the month of July and submit it to Civic Pints on our website. You can find it at civicmedia.us/giveblood, or you can just, you know, head over to the main homepage. It's right at the top. You can click on it and participate in Civic Pints.
Wait, to be clear, Civic Pints is about donating blood, not drinking beer.
Correct. That will be a later, you know, rendition of
it's
Civic
just that
Pints.
she got a little confused because yesterday in Arizona she was at some place called the Wanderlust Brewery.
Okay,
and I think that she was hoisting a pint at the time, if I'm not mistaken. You ended up buying merchandise there too, didn't you?
I did. I have a little bit of Wanderlust myself, so I was feeling that.
Yeah, but and of course again seeing the Pueblo, the Lambo of the Pueblo, as she called it.
So. Right. And, you know, one thing I wanted to say, Luke, is I love what you guys are doing by encouraging people to call and talk, because that's the whole point of Civic Media, is to engage in those conversations and to create that sense of community. So folks, do call in, do share your opinions, do share your feedback, because we do want to hear from you. This is all about you.
So true. And let's see, Aaron, a lot of times you have an idea of what Charlie Behrens is talking about for the Cripescast come the weekend.
Oh, it turns out there's no new episode for the Cripescast this weekend. We're just going to do a rerun of some of the greatest hits, okay? Yeah, real good there.
Okay, well.
Well, due to a programming snafu with the reshuffle, yes, last week, I think we could actually play last week's episode that was supposed to be new as a new episode this week with Rory, a comedian that sat down with Charlie, but we did not get a chance to make sure that it was FCC friendly with the chaos that was going on last week. So
yes,
we'll have that one. It will be one in the chamber that can be played out new this weekend then.
That is very important, you know, much
like
the music.
Extremely important, Pat.
Because again, podcasts don't have the same rules as radio shows. And so some people sometimes forget which one they're doing at a time. So yeah, strong work there. Thank you, Mr. Mathers. Have a great weekend.
You as well.
Kristen, safe travels. Hopefully
thank
maybe
you.
Talk to you on Monday. Aaron, thank you so much. And again, thanks everyone for tuning in. Again, I will be off tomorrow, so we'll have a best of show tomorrow. I'll be back live with you come Monday morning. But remember, you can follow us all day long over at upnorthnewswi.com. And you can follow me on Facebook at Up North News. Just go to Pat Kreitlow Up North. We'll back live on Monday. We'll see you then from up here at the lake, where it's always a beautiful day up north. See you.